A strange and sort of curious scripture it is. And if you notice from the title of the sermon printed in your bulletin, we're going to be talking about heaven, what we can say about it and how we can get there. From NSYNC to In Space. That's where singer Lance Bass, one of the stars of the boy band NSYNC, wanted to go. And he wanted to get there by the spacecraft that the Russians use. But Lance's great plans to soar into the heavens crashed and burned when he couldn't come up with the $20 million, which was the ticket price to ride on a Russian space rocket to the heavens. Or as the Washington Post put it so bluntly, no dough, no go. Just gotta love the Washington Post for that. Russia soared into the space tourism business 2 years ago when California investment banker Dennis Tito plopped down $20 million and became the first person to bankroll their own ride to the heavens. South African millionaire Mark Shuttleworth soon followed in his footsteps. Lance Bass wanted to be the next one, but he didn't even want to pay with his own money. That's the ironic part. He wanted to fly into heaven using other people's money. After approaching Radio Shack and Pepsi for sponsorship, Bass spent several months in Russia modeling spacesuits and undergoing training. He was following the lead of a Hollywood promoter who believed that the next great frontier in space was going to belong to the celebrity game shows. You know, I almost choked when I read that. But you can almost see it. Can't you see the next Survivor show? Survivor from the moon, you know? I mean, you can almost see it. They're getting so ridiculous with things anymore. And this is really where Hollywood is thinking. One day, they'll be doing shows from the outer space. I hope I'm not around when that day comes. But anyways, the problem right now with Lance Bass's ticket is nobody was buying the idea. Like many of us, they thought it was just too outlandish, I suppose. And the Russians got tired of waiting for their money. You see, he was already over there beginning to train and telling them, oh, the money's coming, the check's in the mail. But it never came. And they got tired of waiting. You see, the Russians decided to start doing this in order to keep their space program alive. They figured, well, each space trip, we'll take a civilian with us and charge them $20 million bucks, and that $20 million will help us keep our program going. Sounds good. Amazing thing is to think that we have reached the day when it is actually possible. It's actually possible for one of us here, even if we have $20 million, to book a trip on a spacecraft to go to the heavens. We can do it. It's almost unthinkable. No doubt, though, it would be a spectacular ride, wouldn't it? I mean, let's admit, all of us deep down inside, when we watch the space shuttle taking off on television or whatever, all of us deep down inside, there's a little bit of us that thinks, boy, it sure would be neat to be on that space shuttle. Sure would be neat to go up and see what some of the space people... Pat's saying, no way, Jose. Some of us may think that, though. Anyways, it would be an interesting ride. But make no mistake, if you're dealing with the Russians, if you think today, hey, I'm going and check and drawing $20 million out of my savings and I'm going to go ride to the moon or ride into space, know that the Russians want their money up front now. They're very funny about that. They want their $20 million right away. Okay. In our scripture today, the prophet Elijah had his own spectacular ascension into heaven. But it wasn't on a rocket. It was in a whirlwind. Nevertheless, I guarantee you, if CNN had been there, they would have covered it. Of course, back then, CNN was the Camel News Network. Okay, that was a joke. It didn't work. After all, his blast-off included a chariot of fire and horses of fire, a sight that overwhelmed his student, prophet Elisha, to the point that he cried out in amazement as Elijah disappeared from view. You know, you can almost begin to understand a little bit about what Elisha saw. If you've ever watched the space shuttle in real life, not on television, but in real life, just going up, and I have, where I used to live, I could see it, and I would stop whatever I was doing every time it went up, Run outside and see, watch it go up. It's just amazing. And, you know, you watch that thing just take off and soar and soar and soar until it gets a little smaller and a little smaller, and then it disappears. And it's just, it's amazing to watch. I don't care how many times you watch it. It's just amazing to watch. And that's kind of what Elisha was going through. You know, and here's his friend, and they get divided, and then he's soared up in this whirlwind, and he's watching his friend, his master, just go higher and higher and higher until he disappears. That just had to be amazing to watch. But the thing is that God doesn't expect us to scrape together 20 million and book a flight on a Russian rocket. God knows most of us probably can't afford that anyways. But he doesn't expect us. Nor does he promise that we'll escape our earthly existence in a whirlwind, surrounded by chariots of Israel and horsemen. For that matter, it's not likely that we'll be walking with God and find ourselves in glory like Enoch did. So you're saying, okay, with all that said, preacher, then what is it that we can say about heaven? What is it that we can say? What do we know about heaven? And what do we know about how we're going to get there? Well, that's a good question. And that's what we're going to struggle with today. And that's what many Christians before us have struggled with. But there are things that we can say that we know about heaven. For starters, we can say that most people agree that there is a heaven. Even a lot of non-Christians, if we can call them that, believe that there is a heaven and a hell. And the Bible announces that it is so. We've read it in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the way through there. It talks about there is a heaven. Amen? So we know that there is a heaven. We can honestly say as Christian people, as people of God, that we don't know where heaven is. You say, well, that's not very comforting. We don't know where we're headed then. Well, that's true. And I know that's hard to deal with because as human beings, we like to know when we're headed for a destination, we like to know where that is. You know, that's why I love MapQuest on the computer, on the internet. You bring it up on the internet and I can go on there and put in my address and zip code and put in the address and zip code of where I want to go, and it'll give me every turn, every bump, every road name, everything, all the way from point A to point B. And we like that, don't we? We like to know where we're headed. But we don't know that with heaven. And we can't put heaven into MapQuest. It isn't going to tell us how to get there. They don't have the map for that, unfortunately. So we don't know where it is. However, the Bible doesn't give us any clues where it is. Nowhere in the Bible does it say heaven is somewhere near here. Traditionally, we've thought that the universe is a three-level situation, with the earth squeezed in the middle, heaven above, and hell below us. But see, that doesn't even work anymore now, because we know from space travel and from science that in space there is no above and below or forward and backwards. It's just space. So we don't know where heaven is. You say, okay, well, that doesn't help a whole lot, preacher. What else can we say about heaven? Well, we can say that heaven is not for those who think they can pay or work their way to get there. Doesn't matter if you drop $20 into the church offering plate or $20 million. That is no guarantee that you're going to get to heaven. Although if any of you'd like to drop $20 million, that's fine. We won't stop you. But it isn't a guarantee that you'll get to heaven. Coming to church every Sunday is not a guarantee that you're going to get your ticket stamped to go to heaven. You know, we try to come to church and do all the right things, but that's not a guarantee. Nor will good works get you a ticket into heaven. And you think, wait a minute, preacher, hold on there now. Doesn't the Bible say that bad works can keep us out of heaven? Well, you're right. Paul warns us in Galatians 5:19 through 21 that anyone dabbling in the occult, anyone who is sexually impure, anyone who is envious or jealous or given fits of rage are not
going to get by St. Peter at the pearly gates. So you see, there's a lot of things that have to happen. Just going to church, if the rest of the time we're not operating the way we're supposed to, the way God wants us to, just because we're going to church every Sunday doesn't mean we're going to automatically get into heaven. There's a lot of things we have to do. Thinking of St. Peter reminds me of a joke. We'll see if this one goes over better. A priest and a New York taxi driver both died on the same day and went to heaven. St. Peter was at the pearly gates waiting for them. "Come with me," said St. Peter to the taxi driver. The New York taxi driver did as he was told and followed St. Peter to a mansion. It had anything that you could imagine, from an Olympic-sized swimming pool to a bowling alley. Makes me ready to go. The taxi driver said, "Thank you. Oh, man, this is so great. This is more better than I could ever imagine." Next, St. Peter led the priest to a rugged old shack with a bunk bed and a little old black and white television. "Wait a minute. I think you're a little mixed up," said the priest. "Shouldn't I be the one that gets the mansion? After all, I'm the priest. I went to church every Sunday. I preach the Word of God every Sunday." St. Peter says, "Well, you know, that's true, you did. But during your sermons, people went to sleep. And when the taxi driver drove, they all prayed." I need those drums. Okay. Kind of goes along, kind of fits with the sermon today. Anyway, getting back to the good and bad, logic would seem to dictate that if the bad stuff bars the doors of heaven, then the good stuff would be the key. Doing the good stuff, doing the good works, would be the key to opening the gates to heaven, right? Sounds logical, but it's wrong. Here's the most important thing that we know about heaven. We can only get to heaven by the grace of God. "For by grace you have been saved through faith," says Paul to the Ephesians. "And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one can boast." So that no one may boast. So that no one may boast. Well, that means then that if we're saying to others, "Well, I've been running this church for 20 years, you know, or I've been serving at the soup kitchen every Tuesday for the last 10 years, or I've put more money than anybody else in that offering plate," if we're boasting about it, we need to be worried. We need to be concerned that we may not be headed where we think we want to be headed. We may end up in the wrong place. You see, when we truly accept this gift of grace from God, we know it because it transforms our lives. Yes, we do quit doing the bad stuff. And we do start doing the good works, but not to earn our way into heaven. We do the good stuff as a sort of training to prepare for heaven. Okay? Even Lance Bass and Dennis Tito had to undergo training, along with paying their $20 million, to get ready to go into space. The difference is they had to condition their bodies to deal with the stresses and the challenges of space. We as Christians, on the other hand, have to condition our souls, our spirits. We're not ready. We're in raw form down here, folks, and we know that. We're not anywhere close to perfect. And so we've got to train. That's what our time here on earth as Christians is for. It's a time of training. It's a time of preparation to get ready so that we'll be ready, so that we will have all we need to have to be able to go to heaven. That's why we do the good works. That's why God has given us the manual of the Ten Commandments and the love thy neighbor as yourself and love your God before any other God. That's a training manual. This is a training manual, if you want to look at it that way. And we've got to prepare ourselves and be in training every day to get ready to go to heaven. We've got to condition ourselves by filling our spirits with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, I don't know about for you all, but for me, it's taking a lot of training to get myself filled up and to get those things right. I guess I'm a slow learner. But that's why we're here on earth, is to keep practicing and training and filling ourselves with those things and getting it right so that we'll be ready to go to heaven. Moral and spiritual discipline plays a large role in the training of Christians aspiring for heaven. You say, wow, is there possibly anything else that we could say about heaven? Well, we said quite a bit. But there is one more thing we can say. We can say that heaven is a place where God and His people will reside together. It's a place where God Himself will be with each one of us. In person. God will wipe away every tear from each of our eyes. Their death, mourning, crying, pain will be no more. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful place? Doesn't that sound like a place worth training for? Worth preparing for? And you know what the greatest part is about heaven? We don't have to pay a dime. Not one dime. Because Christ has already purchased our ticket. He's paid the price. He stamped it. We've got a seat in heaven reserved for us. It's already been paid. All we have to do is go through the training. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Thank you. You're listening. Cool. You're awake. Isn't that great though? I mean, we don't have to pay a dime. All we have to do is follow this training manual that God's given us, prepare our hearts and our spirits for heaven, and our place is reserved. We don't even have to worry about it. Just do the training. Heaven for 20 million. It works for a few people. A few people got that kind of money. Heaven, a gift of grace from God, works for all of us, even you. It's within reach of all of us. We've just got to train for it. Will you pray with me?